Father, Lord God, I thank you. I do want to thank you, Lord, just for this time that we get to spend together. You know, even when my flesh rises up, sometimes I'm like, oh, I just want to stay in bed. There's so many other things I have to do, Lord. I have bad attitudes. You know, when I come here, Lord, I see family. Just people that I get to hug and just genuinely just love your Father. We're able to talk. It just feels so natural, Lord, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we can have a close-knit family, Father. I just pray, Lord, too, just for us to get even closer, Lord, and just learn even more about each other, Lord. I just pray that everyone knows that they can feel that this is a safe place, Father. Pray for your Spirit, Lord God, just to guide us and just to be here and just to speak to us, Lord. And help us while we worship, Father, just to focus on you. Hallelujah moment where we're just singing and praising and we can have joy. But I also pray, Lord God, if there's someone here right now, Lord, that's coming with burden or sadness or guilt or shame, Lord, I pray for freedom from that, Father. Father, there's no condemnation in you, Lord. You can correct us, Lord. You can rebuke us. You can redirect our path, Lord, but you do it lovingly. I pray against anything that the enemy has planned for any of us here, Lord God. And we pray that your plans, Lord God, that we follow those, Lord. That we listen to your voice, Father. Thank you. When we're hungry, Lord God, we're going to listen a little bit better. I pray, Lord, that if we're here and coming and looking for milk, Lord God, that's what we get, Father. If we're here coming, looking for meat, Lord God, meet us where we are, Father, like I know that you do, Lord. I just pray, Lord God, as we listen to your words, Father, that we just feel that nourishment inside of us, Lord. Speak to each and every one of us today, Lord God.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Addictions. I can name a bunch of stuff, but right now, whatever the Lord's bringing to your mind right now, Lord God. Father, we ask forgiveness, Lord. We ask for strength to overcome that, Lord God. Father, help us to be such an example of you, Lord God. And that's not by being perfect, but it's by showing how we can be forgiven, how we can change. We can become a new creation. You can't put the new wine in the old wineskins. Father, help us to be new. Help us to have freedom, Lord.
And then this freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom.
Just the name of Jesus. You know, I was having a nightmare the other night. A lot going on, and just super stressed, doing a bunch of stuff. And in this nightmare of mine, I was laying down and I couldn't breathe. And I felt like I was being attacked by Satan. I couldn't do anything. And the first thing that I did in my dream is I said, "Jesus Christ, Son of God." I kept repeating it over and over and over again. And I just think that's so exciting that even in my dreams, I'm calling out to Jesus. And it went away, of course. And I woke up and I was like, oh, praise the Lord. It was just a dream. But either way, there's such power in that name. You know, even when we're feeling alone or we're feeling sad, we call out that name, Jesus Christ, Son of God. And that peace just can come over you. Lord, help us to cling unto that name, Lord God. More beautiful than gold or rubies or anything.
I want more.
Fires to burn, God. Help our love not to grow cold, and our patience not to go away, Father, and our excitement not to go away, Lord. Sometimes I feel like we get so excited when we first come to the Lord, and then we're like, this is a lot harder than we thought. We thought it was going to be so easy all the time. You know, we're on the Lord's side, and the Lord doesn't say this is all going to be easy. He's going to say, this is all going to be hard, but guess what? I'm going to help you through it because you're no longer alone. I think in the world, we're so used to doing everything alone, and we got this, we're good. But with the Lord, He's like, I'm with you. You're no longer alone. You don't have to be by yourself anymore. I'm going to hold you in my arms. And when you walk through these trials, and when you feel like you want to give up, I'm going to help you go a little bit further. And after that, I'm going to help you go a little bit further, and so on. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your strength, Lord. You've always been faithful to me, Father. Even when I rejected you, Lord, you were there waiting for me, Father. When I accepted your gift and your love, I've never felt so loved in my life as when I came to you, Lord, and right now, Lord. And although sometimes we can have sadness here and there, it's just amazing. I have no idea what it feels like to have that depression or that constant sadness anymore, because I, even when something horrible happens, I know I have someone to run to. I have the rock that I get to stand on. And I thank you for that, Father, and I just pray here right now, Lord God, if there's anyone that doesn't have that, Lord, that they'll long for it, Father. They'll hunger for it. And that they'll accept it, Lord. Because it's as easy as that, Father. Just wrap your arms around them, Lord. Because there's no other place I'd rather be than in your love, Father.
Thanks, George.
By the power of your Holy Spirit would speak, that you would open up our ears, that you would stir our hearts to action and truth, Lord God. I pray, Lord, against whatever the enemy is throwing at anybody here today, we come against that in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord God. Any sin that entangles, Lord God, anything that hinders, Lord, you break every chain, Lord God, every chain. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing, Lord, on the people who are ill, Lord God, and the families who are sick, Lord. You know who they are right now. You know the folks who are home, Lord, recovered from surgery, Lord. And you know, I'm thinking of Natalie and the Ontario family right now. I'm thinking of Flo, Lord, just being away, and Anthony just being away in Germany. The people are away on vacation, Lord. Lord, you know all those people, Lord God. Would you just bless them to be with them, Lord God, on their trips? Lord, you have a word for us today, Lord God. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would impact your people, that you would put this jumbled mess that's in my mind together in some form or fashion that would speak to each one of us, Lord God. It would be you speaking, not me. So anoint my tongue, Lord God. Anoint my eyes, my ears, my hands, my feet, my thinking, Lord God. And bring it in line with what your will is, even to this day, even to this very minute, as what we do next, what we do now. And anything that's planned that you want different, I just pray that I'll just go and we would just go with the flow. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, you guys. Well, a couple quick things this morning before I forget. You guys know if you're new here, we teach verse by verse through the Word of God, that people know what the Word of God says in context. And I know for some of the younger people, or maybe you're new to the faith, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But let me tell you, in these latter days, it says that people are going to stop and listening to the teachings of demons, and to what their itching ears want to hear, not to what God's Word says. And so it's so important now more than ever to know the entire Word of God. And so that's why we do that. That's why we go through everything, so that you know what it says and know what it says in context. If you miss any sermons, you can catch them at homefellowshipchurch.com. And you know we have a learner library if you want to grow in your walk with the Lord. DVDs, Christian audio CDs, and audio books, also regular books you're welcome to. You're welcome to join us here Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for prayer. Also, this Tuesday is the Armor of God Bible study. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Just want to make sure somebody knows I got the wrong name. Okay, so the Armor of God Bible study. And Lisa, is there anything? I heard your voice somewhere in the midst. So in the sea, is there anything that you want to say? Or?
Come on out, girls. You know, let's finish strong. We've got 2 more months left of it. It's been really wonderful. And
2 weeks or 2 months?
2 months. I think we go through September a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we go through September.
And what time should they come out, Tuesday?
6:30 is for fellowship. 7 o'clock is the time we start the Bible study.
Yes, and I've been hearing just how powerful it is. I know there's about 30 women that come. And so whether you're going to come for the first time or whatever, just come out. And that's for the ladies and the teen girls. And so come on out to that. We'd love to have you. Also, the Whosoever's Youth Group on Wednesday, 6:30 at Manatee County Youth for Christ. They had an incredible teacher last week. That's just my personal opinion. An amazing speaker that came and shared. Also, in September, we're going to be starting our Thursday night family night at sometime in September, and it's going to be a barbecue and Bible study. It's going to be nothing fancy schmancy. It's just going to be some food, some fellowship, and then the Word being taught or whatever the Lord leads. Okay? And so we're going to be starting that sometime in September. So we're getting close to that, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's like another week. So you can pray for that. Also, I think Kingdom Living Discussion Group, is that this week? Is that going to be at your house or Diane's? At Diane's house. Okay, Diane's going to be at your wonderful house this week. Okay, sounds good. Also, just want to say, man, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, we had our orientation night this week, and it was just nothing short of amazing. And you guys already know, but somehow the school is, like, already full. I mean, I think there's one spot open, actually. Somebody asked me yesterday. I saw somebody in South Sarasota, and they said, hey, are you out of school? And I said, what? She's like, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm pastoring a church. Don't you have a school? I said, yes, how do you even know that? Shepherd's Heart Christian School. And so God's just doing the work, and it was a really good night. The Holy Spirit was so moving and shaking. I mean, people were literally just coming up to me, talking to me in tears. with so much confirmation. It was just like the Holy Spirit was just, literally, I can't even tell you. People were crying, so thankful that God was doing this work at the school. So please pray for it, because our first day is Tuesday. And, of course, everybody probably feels overwhelmed, but continue to pray. But God is doing an amazing work, and so it's so cool to see what he's doing, and just so great that we can even join him. So be in prayer for that. Also, Justine, you want to come up here for a second? We are going to pray. This is kind of a tearful, joyful moment. Come on up here, Justine. And Justine has been a part of our body for some time now, and she is an amazing encourager in the Lord. And so she was having us pray for her and her family that they would find a house, and they were going to buy a house. When she told me that, I didn't know it was going to be in Port Charlotte. So I probably would have prayed differently had I known. So maybe it's good that you didn't tell me. But I am very thankful that God is providing this house for you. But I also want to say it's very sad to see you and the family go. I still remember dedicating little Zara on the little chair in the little house. You know, we were doing that. And so I just want to take a minute. And if you guys would, I think you're closing Wednesday. And so we just want to pray God's blessing on her and on the kids and on her husband, Jonathan. We just want to pray a blessing over them. And if you want to say anything, I'll let you do that to the body. If there's anything you want to communicate to this body, you know, I want to give you the freedom to do that. I know you haven't planned it. I haven't planned it. But I also want to give you freedom to exhort or encourage or whatever you feel the Lord like. Can we pray for you right now? If anybody else feels led to lay hands, you can, or you can pray from there. Don't feel awkward and uncomfortable. We just want to do that and come around her and pray for her. Father, you're so good to us, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful, lovely lady, Lord God, who loves you with all of her heart, Lord God. I pray that you would just do a new work as she steps out in faith, Lord, and goes into her new house all the way down in Port Charlotte, Lord, that you would bless her. I pray that you would find her a good body of believers that she could plug into, Lord, ones that would be encouraging in you, encouraging in your word, Lord God, sensitive to your Holy Spirit, a place where she can not only be a part of, but also that she can bless and use her gifts in, Lord. I thank you for how you've used her in this body over the years to just encourage us, Lord God, in so many ways, and even just encourage me personally, Lord. Lord, I just pray for her husband, Lord, blessings upon blessings, to even draw that man so close to yourself, Lord God, that it would just be overflowing on him and from him, Lord God. I pray for those kids, Lord, that you would protect them, Lord God, wherever they go, Lord God, that you would bless them, that you would give them a heart to know you and to love you and to serve you all of their days, Lord God. What a blessing they are, Lord God. What a blessing this family has been, Lord God. I pray that you would go with them, Lord God, down there, Lord God, and that you would just take care of them in every way, Lord God. That you would even anoint that home, that home would just scream you, Lord God.
Yes.
And as for that house, Lord, I pray that and it would be a house that serves you no matter what, Lord God. And so, Lord, just use your refining fire down there, Lord God, and cleanse it of anything that's unclean, Lord God, and prepare everyone's heart, Lord God, for that new experience, Lord God. I thank you for this amazing young lady, Lord, and her kids and her family, Lord God. And I just pray that blessing over them right now in Jesus Christ's name, Lord God. Amen.
Amen.
You are allowed to pray too, absolutely.
I don't feel like you do.
I'm sorry. I can get you a mic if you'd like.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Can you grab me a little hand mic if you got it over there real quick?
Did the wire. Yellow.
Yellow.
That way you can also talk.
Check. Okay. Lord, I want to lift up Justine to you, and I know that this is going to be a difficult transition because it's going to be further away from her family on both sides. I just ask that this would just make her draw closer to you all the more, and that she'll be able to have a stronger tug in her heart to spend time with you, because she'll be missing those other people that have been there to show her love and show her kindness. But sometimes when we're further away from you, we need to go straight to you, because we're all your conduits, but we're not you. So that you would just help her to not not to let fear grip her. On those times when maybe the kids are going nutso and Jonathan is being a man and not helping, and these are brothers, okay. I just pray that you would not let Satan come in and say, "Oh, you need to just pack up right now and we need to go back." Lord, but that it would be totally you, that you would be giving her peace and companionship, speaking to her heart, giving her wisdom and how to handle being farther away from people that you're comfortable with. Because you're taking her out of her comfort zone. And she knows that. I know she's told me that. And I think she's very brave. I don't think I would want to. But if it is your doing, Lord, then it's going to be best, no matter what. I just ask that she would have that comfort all the time, even when fears try to creep in, that she would just remember, Lord, that you're her comfort and you're her stay. And you're her strength and her joy to come to you.
You do.
I just, all that just keeps popping up in my head, Lord, is just complete grace, Lord God. I just pray that your grace just covers her and her husband as well, Lord God. But I also know that as a wife, Father, that, you know, a lot of times we're unpacking and with the kids and we're trying to make the house just so perfect. And I pray that even though this can be a scary transition, Lord, I pray that you put such excitement in her, Lord God, and that she'll see it as this exciting, amazing thing and a wonderful opportunity, Lord. And I also do pray, Lord, that you just bring her friends in her life too, and a strong church, Lord. Yes. I pray that you guide them, Father, and where what body they're supposed to go to, Lord. But yes, as everyone was praying, Lord God, I just do pray that your grace is on her and on that household, Lord. Amen.
Now, is there anything, you have an opportunity to share anything you want. Hey, can we have that microphone just another minute? And I don't know, there's no pressure, you don't have to, but if there's any, you have an opportunity to say whatever you want, you have total free reign.
Wow. That's special.
I'm really thankful to have been able to be a part of this family. You guys are a family to me. And I'm just praying. I'm thankful that you guys pray just that God would guide us to a new family and use us where we're going. So I am very excited. I feel like it's something new that the Lord's going to do in our lives. And I'm very, sorry, I have a frog in my throat. I'm very excited for that. My only concern is just kind of finding a family, a church family that we can walk in the Lord with. So if you, God puts it in your heart, you can pray for us. But this has been such a blessing to be in this church, and I'm very thankful. Don't want to get emotional. So my time's up.
All right, well, let's jump right into the Word, shall we?
Yes.
Romans chapter 6. Yes, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand or your paw, and Elijah Chandler will drop one right to your door. We just got done with Romans 5. You know about that. We talked about words like justification and faith and peace from God and peace with God. We talked about choosing joy in the midst of suffering. We talked about that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and hope. And character produces hope, and hope doesn't put us to shame or doesn't disappoint us. We talked about how much God loves you in chapter 5, and we talked about, at the end of chapter 5, about the atom bomb, how sin came through Adam and caused so much destruction and pain and suffering, much worse than the atom bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. We talked about comparisons and contrast with Jesus. We talked about the ruin of mankind in Romans 5 that came through sin of Adam and how that affects each one of us even to this very day. We talked about the rescue of mankind that comes through the saving blood of Jesus Christ and the reign of mankind, how we can have victory over the power of sin. And so, and he left off with those last verses, you know, he said in the end of chapter 5, You know, as sin abounds, grace abounds more. And so you remember our friend Paul asks that rhetorical question in chapter 6, verse 1. Well, we talked about a lot of other things too, but we're just going to skip that. You know. We talked about God's grace. But he asks that question in verse 1 of chapter 6. And I'm going to try to recap very quickly. It says, what shall we do then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And then in verse 2, he says, by no means. Or may ginamai. So he's answering that rhetorical question. Well, if grace is so great, then we can just sin all the more because God's grace will abound more. And he's answering that question. He's like, no way, Jose. God forbid, by no means, you're cray-cray. Whatever you want to say, say. That's what he's saying. No. The word there, by no means, and I like the King James says it a little bit better, God forbid, in Greek is me ginamai. Can you say that?
Yeah.
Me ginamai. Me ginamai. Right. And that means like, oh, that's crazy talk. And so, and if you remember in that, where it says, what shall we say then? Should we go on sinning? And that word for sinning, in the verb tense, means a lifestyle of sin. In other words, this is the lifestyle I lived before I got saved. Should I continue living in it? God forbid you should do that. No way. And so, he says in the next verses, you know, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4 said, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. So he's raised you from the dead for new life. And you guys remember the illustration I had last week? I don't know what happened to those rags. But do you remember that illustration I gave? We put the whole table up here, and we put the thing, we're talking about baptism. And the baptism is an outward expression of an inward change in your life. If we had those two white cloths, and we just put one in the water, right, and brought it out, and you know what that white cloth still was?
White.
A white cloth. It was the same thing, because there was nothing in there that changed it. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And remember we put that red dye in there? And that word baptizo, when you go back in the Greek, the root form it wasn't even a Christian term. It meant to immerse in something. And it was used for the dyeing of cloth. And we put that red dye in there, and we took that white cloth in there, and we dipped it in that water that represents the blood of Jesus. We took it out, and what happened? Was it the same color?
No.
Absolutely not. It was transformed. Now, is it transformed forever? Is that going to stay? Is it going to become a white cloth again? No, it's going to stay that red cloth because it's permeated every fiber. When Christ comes into your heart, when Christ comes into your life, he permeates every part of your heart, every part of your being, and there's a changed life. So to say that I'm going to go on and live the same way I did before I got saved is crazy. God forbid you should say that. We talked about being dead to sin and alive to God, slavery or freedom. And we talked about the Emancipation Proclamation and how the president signed that and it freed the enslaved people in the land. We talked about justification, what we talked about last chapter, and this chapter, sanctification, that progressive work that goes through us. And then eventually glorification. That justification is in the past. That means he's paid, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. It's a one-time experience. It's positional. We are saved. It's done. It's God's work for us. And we talked about then there's sanctification. It's God's present work in our lives. How we're being saved from the power of sin. It's a lifelong experience. It's practical. It's continued as God works in and through us. And then future glorification. How that's for the future. We'll be saved from the presence of sin, but we're with him forever. And that'll be a permanent. And that's God's work to us. And that's God's gift for us. We talked about this bumper sticker, which I really don't like. I know what it's trying to say, and I love the sentiment. Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. But we talked about how it's so much more than that. And think about this. Let's say you were, God forbid it, and we've got folks from all different backgrounds in here, but let's say that you were a crackhead. You're a prostitute. Now imagine if God saved you from all those sins that you did when you were addicted to that drug. Imagine if God forgave you for all those things and then left you as a crack prostitute. Wouldn't that be terrible? It's not just that we're forgiven. He has given us the power to have a new life, a brand new direction, right? That would be a pretty terrible thing if it was just a forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is amazing, but he's so much more than that. God is so much more than that. The Holy Spirit wants us to walk in the newness of life. And so that question, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. We talked about that, not grace not being a license to sin. And a true Christian desires to be free from sin, not to sin freely. We talked about how the Christian life isn't no, 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 N-O, it's K-N-O. Like in verse 3, it says, don't you know that we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death? Or verse 6, don't you know, it says this, I love this, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with. Or some of your translations, be rendered powerless. That means sin is rendered powerless in your life if you're a Christian. How many of you have one of these really cool, I don't know if I brought it in today, I didn't. How many of you have a really cool smartphone? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Okay. Or an Apple version of that. Okay. All right. So quite a few of you. We're talking about 30, 40, 50% have a neat smartphone. Now, that smartphone can do a lot of stuff. Can it? I mean, you can go on the internet, you can make calls, you can do voice and text. It's a bunch of cool stuff. It's an amazing thing, right? But let me tell you, when that thing goes down, when the bars go down, 7%, 5%, 1%. When that's powerless, how amazing is that cell phone? It is worthless. You can use it as a doorstop, right? Well, in that same way, Christ has rendered sin powerless in your life. You no longer have to be controlled by it. It doesn't have the same power it has in your life. It's just our thinking, our habits. We think that it does. Our habits have formed where we've given it too much power. But it doesn't have any power. It's like a doorstop in your life now. And I want you to know that your old self was crucified. The old man was crucified. Not Tom Panhorst, but the old self, the way we used to live. It says this, and we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And we talked about it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we left off now. I think we left off at the end of verse 7. We left off, I think we're in verse 8 now. And so he goes on. You know what? I'm going to say one thing, though. Forgive me. Can you know that illustration where it says, hey, we've been baptized, and that baptism represents, right, us dying to sin and our old life, right? I heard this great illustration one time, and this is a true story. A guy wrote a book about it, but everybody's familiar with Desert Storm. Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right, that was kind of like the war that happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, some of that you might remember. Anyway, there was a chaplain, an evangelical chaplain. I think he was with the Evangelical Free Church. And he was leading people to Christ. And there was a bunch of soldiers that wanted to be baptized. Okay? They wanted to give their hearts and lives over to Christ. And now, in obedience to God, after God was doing a work in their hearts, they wanted to get baptized, right? That's what the Lord says to do. That's his command, right? But they're in a desert. So how much water do you think there is in the military compound right in the desert? Zero. There's no. So they thought, look, the chaplain was like, what can I do? How can I do this? So they did the only thing, they took the only thing they had, which was unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you think of it, a coffin. They took a coffin and they then lined it with a body bag and lined the coffin, the inside of it, with the body bag so it wouldn't leak, and filled that with water.
Wow.
And then whoever wanted to be baptized, whoever said, I want to now walk with Jesus, I want to give my heart life, I want to be baptized, they got to be baptized in a coffin. In a body bag. Now, what an amazing illustration, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dying to self, dying to the old way of life, right? And rising up again to new life. I just thought that was such an amazing illustration. Verse 8 says, now, if we die with Christ... Hey, by the way, I'm sorry. I really like these lights. I can really read a lot better now. So, just saying. Thank you for doing that. Verse 8. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And... I'm going to take a little short detour. Some of your translations might say in that verse 8, you know, he cannot die again, or he cannot be sacrificed again. You know, just a quick caveat here. This kind of goes against, I was raised Catholic, and I'm very thankful for a lot of things. So this isn't a Catholic slam. Okay, but there's a doctrine that they teach that is very wrong, that teaches that the whole purpose of the Mass, our purpose for getting to here together, is we worship the Lord, right? We worship Him in song, we worship Him in prayer, we worship Him in the Word, so that you can learn what God has to say to you, apply it to your life, right? And then live for Him, right? The purpose of they call their service, they call the Mass, is a celebration of the Eucharist, which is the body and blood. Now, when we take communion, which we did a couple weeks ago, we know that the bread represents the body of Christ, right? And the juice represents the blood. It's a symbol. Jesus said, as often as you do it, you know, you've done it for me. Well, the whole purpose of their service, the Mass, is to celebrate the Eucharist. And what they believe is that body and blood doesn't just represent, it turns into literal body of Christ and literal blood of Christ. It's called transubstantiation. Now, some of you are like, oh, who cares? But this is important. Because what they're doing is, they are, because you are eating Christ, you are they believe you're eating his flesh, literally, chomping on it, literally drinking his blood, and that is what cleanses you from sin. So every time they have that Mass, they're re-sacrificing Jesus. And the reason why I tell you this is because, not so that you can slam a Catholic, that's not the point here. I love my Catholic friends. But the point is, we have to know that Christ sacrificed once and for all for us. It's a done deal, folks. It's over. In fact, go to either Hebrews 7:27. Let me think for a second. Yeah, let me try that first. If that's what's coming to mind. Just give me just 1 second. Go to Hebrews. And if that's not it, then I'll panic and we'll go somewhere else. Hebrews, towards the back of your Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm saying 7. If I can't find it in 7, then I'll... okay, can you read that? Somebody said you're right. I like that sound. Okay, would you just read it nice and long? This is Hebrews, what, 7:27? Okay, go ahead.
Who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself.
Yeah, the priests of the old days had to offer sacrifices again and again for people's sins. You don't need to do that anymore. When Christ did it, he did it once and for all. It's a done deal, folks. And so I just want you to know that, so that you are not confused at all in the future.
Darren, could we go to 25? Because that's very, very powerful.
And yes, yes, sir. Teaching. I'm not there. I already turned back. That's
hence,
fine.
Hence, also, he is able to save forever.
I love that.
Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest,
yes.
Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens.
I love that. He is able to save completely. I remember my translation saying, or forever. That's amazing. That's your God. So even though you may stumble, you're not bound by those sins anymore. You don't have to be. It goes on to say, verse 10, the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. It goes on to say in verse 11, in that same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that word there where it says, some of your Bibles might say, in that same way, some of your Bibles might say, reckon yourself. Some of you guys say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when we were in Tennessee on vacation, that was a word everybody used all the time. So I don't want to get it confused. Well, you know, hey, can we get room service? I reckon you can. Now, when they say that, it means, I suppose you can. You know, hey, can I change this meal to, can I get a baked potato instead of fries? I reckon so. That means, you know, I guess you can, right? But when he's using it in the Bible, it means different. When he's saying, reckon yourselves dead to sin, It's actually, it's logizomai in the Greek, and it's a counting term. And it means like you can count on it. He's like, I want you, if you want to start leading a life for God, the first thing I want you to know about it, he's already told us that, no, K-N-O-W, but now I want you to reckon your hearts. I want you to count it that you are dead to sin already. I want you, it's like this. I've got a bank account. All right, and I've got SunTrust, all right? I've got kids, I've got wife, I've got checks going out. So if I wanted $1,000, right, and I said, how much is in the bank? And I go on my online little SunTrust thing, I say, how much is in my account? It says $1,000. Now, if I went down to the bank to withdraw that $1,000, woohoo, taking it all out, right, you know what would happen? They would tell me, oh, you don't have $1,000 in there. Like, wait, I just went online. Oh, I'm sorry. Sir, it says that your wife wrote a check to Walmart for $300 for food for the kids. She just did that about 30 minutes ago. What? You know, and of course, you had some automatic bill pays that are pending. And so, really, that's another $600. So really, sir, you have zero. When it says to reckon yourself or to count yourself, it's almost like, it's an accounting term, it's almost like God is saying, okay, when you add up everything, okay, all the positives, okay, this is what you actually have. You have the $1,000. You can go take it right now. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. So, what God is saying here is if you want to have victory over sin, not only do you have to know it, like from an intellectual way, but you have to count it in your heart. Reckon it. Know it as fact, not faith. Okay, I'm not talking claim the promise, hallelujah. But what I am saying is you have to hold on to it as a true fact in your life. He's not saying, I want you to feel, you know, like you're dead to sin. Okay, I really want you to feel it in your little heart. I want you to feel it, you know. He's not saying that. He's not saying, I want you to understand it completely and intellectually and theologically. I want you to be able to understand the intricacies of being dead to sin. No, he's not saying that. Connie, what he's saying is, I want you to count it as an absolute fact that you are dead to sin. You don't have to sin and live that lifestyle any longer. It's a fact. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, something transforms in your life. The Holy Spirit comes into you. It's a supernatural thing that happens. And He lives in and through you. He's the one that empowers you. You can count it as a fact. You're no longer a slave to that sin. Whatever you think, whatever it is, if it's the alcohol, if it's the drink, if it's the sex, if it's the people, if it's the pills, if it's the pot, whatever it is for you, the gossip, the slander, the you name it, you reckon it dead. That's not going to have a hold on me anymore. It's a fact. I do not have to give in to that. You know, before I got saved, there were some sins that, honestly, I felt like, if it was offered to me, I had no power, really. There were certain things, I'm just being honest with you, I want to do the right thing here, but I'm going to cave to my sinful nature. Now I'm saved. I have the living God in me, empowering me. You reckon yourself, you count yourself dead to sin. You don't have to give in to that sin any longer. Does that make sense? In fact, oh, there's something I was going to tell you. Wait. Oh, where is it? Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then verse 12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. What do you think that means? Verse 12. Somebody read that for me again. Billy, would you read it nice and loud if you got your Bible open there? Verse 12. Yeah, I'd like you to read it nice and loud.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires.
What does that mean to you? What does that mean? Don't let sin reign. What does reign mean?
Control.
Rule. What else?
Control.
Have control. Yeah. When I think of reign, I think of a king.
Dominion.
Yeah.
Dominion. Power. Good. Don't let it reign like a king on the throne of your heart. Do not let it do that anymore. Because now Christ reigns. You know what I'm saying? And don't one-cheek it. You know what I mean by one-cheeking it? Okay, yeah. It's like, here you are, before you get saved, I'm a slave to my sinful nature. Here I am. I'm on the throne of my life. I do what pleases me ultimately. And then when I give up that right, I'm saying, Lord, I want you to take the throne. I'm here to serve you. What's your will? But then something happens along the way. You know, I keep saying, Lord, I so want you to be the king of my life. I just want you, you know, I want you to be on the throne. You got it all. Hallelujah! Can somebody give me a witness here? And I'm on half the stool of the throne myself, and I'm booting him out. I'm one-cheeking it. That kind of stinks. Don't let sin reign. You know why? Because sin stinks. You know, the Lord is so... Okay, this is going to be embarrassing. Okay, the Lord is so good. What He does for me is He gives me experiential examples. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Some people learn different ways. I learned auditory. But I also learn visual, but I also learn by experiences. So some things happen to me that are embarrassing, but I learn from them. So God uses it as an example. So sin stinks, right? Which way? Lord, do you want me to go with this? Okay, I did two dumb things this morning, all right? This is really humbling. You won't get this at other places. But okay, so I'm in a rush this morning, right? And so I'm hurrying it up. You know, we live in Florida. It's so hot out. We got so many things to do. So I'm zipped up. So I take my shower, you know, whatever. I put deodorant on and one of my arms. And so I'm thinking, I'm so busy, I'm multitasking, and then I get out the door, and here this morning, I'm starting to hug people. You know, I'm up and out sweating and whatever. I start hugging people. Thinking, oh, that's kind of funny. She's possible. Yeah, I'm hugging her. Oh, that's kind of funny. And then I hug the next person. I'm like, oh, wow. Kind of smells a little bit, too. Why that is. And then the next person I go to hug. I thought, oh, that's kind of funny. They smell, too. What's everybody's problem? Can nobody shower? And then I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. That's me. Wait. Now, this one smells delightful. It's been cleansed. It's been deodorized. But the other side of me stinks. And so you know what happens? I'm up here thinking, as I'm teaching this and raising my arms, you stink. There's no really one cheek in it. You know what I'm trying to say?
You're one arm in it.
Yeah. I stink. So not only that, in that role, but I also grab a shirt, I wash it. I think some of the kids, sometimes they help me with stuff. And so they hung up my clothes. But sometimes, you know, they don't always know what's washed and what isn't. So on top of that, I picked up a shirt that I thought was clean. It was on my hair. On my bed. And so I took, and I'm thinking, you know what? After I get here, I'm thinking, this is a dirty shirt, too. Now, how silly is it that we're clean and then we put on a dirty shirt that stinks, right? It's that same way when we go back to that sinful lifestyle. We let that have control and dominion over us.
That's good.
Nobody's thinking, wow, Darren looks so clean and shiny this morning. If you get close to me, you're going to think, my God, thanks. Pastor, that's what sin does to us.
That's a problem.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Unfortunately? Yes, oh, yes, Elijah, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I have a thing with this throne. You know how you just want to be on the throne?
Yes.
It feels good, but then later on, you know how sin actually really hurts your body?
Mike?
You're sitting on there, but saying is humans keep whipping you and stuff like that.
Yes.
You think you're getting better and better, but you can be in it again, more beat and beat every
That's
time.
Right.
When the Lord takes it, it shows them all out.
That's exactly right.
Going to try to get back on, you're just like, oh, now they're here.
That's right. That's right. Satan is a cruel bastard. That's a good word.
Can you say all that again with the mic on?
Huh?
Can you repeat what he said?
Can you say all that again with the mic on?
Nah, it's too late now. If I just found the mic on the positive side. Hello? All right, let's go on. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. And then it goes this. He says, okay, so I want you to know, and then I want you to count it or reckon it as dead as a fact, and then I want you to go and do something about it. And so it says this. If somebody could read maybe verse 13 for me. Somebody wouldn't mind reading that. Rebecca, do you mind reading verse 13 of Romans? Yeah.
Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God.
Yes. In that same, it says, yes, therefore, do not offer, either present or offer. So here's the first key in having victory over sin. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin. Does some have another translation that says something different?
Present.
Do not present.
Neither yield ye.
Yield? Okay, yield. That's okay. That's a good one. So don't offer the parts of your body to sin. Don't present your body parts to sin. Don't yield. Because first thing is, don't do it. Don't sin. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Ashley, I don't know if I made you read that last week. I can't remember or not. But I want you to read that nice and loud. Ephesians chapter, don't put that off. Okay? So the first key in having victory is to take that sin off. Don't offer your body parts up for sin. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin. That's the first key. It's the don't. What does Ephesians chapter 4, 22, 24 say? Nice and loud, Ash.
That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness.
And what does that mean? What is God saying to you?
That you let go of your old life, all the bad that happened in it, all the sin that was there, that you had done, all the wrong things that you did, and you created a new life in him.
That's right. Put off. Like right now, what I would love to do right now, honestly, the first thing I would keep, I'd like to take off this, well, I don't want to scare anybody, make me throw. I'd love to take off this shirt, this stinky shirt, because it makes me stink. And I don't want to offer that, and I want to put on a clean shirt. Right? And so what he's saying here is don't offer the parts of your body to sin. In other words, I guess I would say it like this. The members of your body, he's like, your lips, your eyes, your hands, and so forth. You know, don't offer them up to the enemy anymore for the enemy's use. In fact, that verse where it says, don't offer your body parts up to sin, it says, as instruments of wickedness. That word for instruments, he says, but rather, hey, instead, I want you to do this. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. That word for instruments is only used a few times in the Bible. The word is hoplon, and it means weapons of warfare. Some of your translations might say something different, but he wants you to use your body, God, your eyes, your lips, your feet, not for the enemy's use anymore, as weapons to use against God, as instruments. That means weapons of warfare. He wants you to now use them for God, as weapons, right? That word instruments, at least in my Bible, it's the same word. If you go over to Acts, Romans, Corinthians, go one book over, or two books over, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Nicole, do you mind reading that? Or am I just panicking because I just did you?
Yeah, I'm like the kid in school.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You did that
first. So funny. I did, actually. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
I can do it.
Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Isn't it good to have friends here? I like how just these that we're like family. Because that's what we are. We can share. We can keep each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. What does it say?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Yes. So that's the same word. It speaks about weapons of warfare. So when he's saying here, don't use your body parts for, you know, weapons for evil. He goes, I want you to use them as weapons for good. You know, in other words, I think of somebody like David, right? When he was really walking with the Lord, he used his hands, right? With slinging a stone, he took down Goliath, somebody who was taunting the enemy, right? He did that easily. I think about, but then I also think how David did some bad stuff, right? He offered up his body parts for evil purposes too, right? Remember his eyes? He offered his eyes. Remember he looked on Bathsheba taking a bath? He shouldn't have been doing that. He should have looked at it and said, whoa, he's taking a bath. He looked the other way, but he's like, whoa, let me see some more of that. No, David. And then you know what happened? What happened is thinking started going. He started using his mind for evil purposes. Yeah, let me think about that. Yeah, maybe. And then he started using his tongue, remember? Hey, why don't you find out about that girl? Who is she? Just curious, you know. And then he used, you know, his hands, well, you can get the idea. Or you could use them. God used Paul's feet to take the gospel everywhere, right? He used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They gave their bodies to the flames rather than to bow down to an idol, right? God used the Apostle John's eyes. Remember he gave him visions and revelation? Remember that? used his eyes and then his hand to write down those things so we can have the scriptures. You know, what are you allowing? Listen, you are not your own, the Bible says. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So think about that. What are you using God to? If God is, when you get saved, if his Holy Spirit lives in you, right? If you're not your own, if you're bought as a price, right? If you're his, then what are you looking at with his eyes? Are you offering it to sin? What are you listening to? I mean, it wouldn't make sense that if I came in here and your pastor was cranking up and I'm listening to Motley Crue, girls, 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 would you think, oh, that's good? What a godly man. No. Okay, that's what I used to listen to before I got saved, right? Now I want to praise the Lord. Does that make sense? Two. Maybe God has given you good. Maybe God's given you a mouth. Some of you got a mouth on you. I just say whatever I want. Well, that's what your flesh does. Well, maybe God says, no, I want to use that mouth to tell people about Jesus and to be bold for Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, maybe you're an angry person. You let the passions boil over in you and you just... Well, maybe God wants to say, no, I want to use that passion. Tell people about the love of God. Does that make sense, guys?
And?
Go ahead. Yeah.
In my, it says, we use body parts as members, which is referenced to Colossians 3:5.
Okay, go.
Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
That's good. That's excellent. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not be your master, because you're not under the law but grace. Everybody turn really quick to Genesis 4, 6 to 7. Genesis 4, 6 to 7. Lisa had a friend who made a fantastic illustration. I was going to use it this morning, but my wife took down the picture, and I think she put it in the storage container. What does that say? Do you have it open? Marty, I mean?
Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.
Yeah, and the picture is this. It's a little cartoon, and it's a picture of this guy pushing against this door, and this huge green monster is sitting behind him, kind of oozing out over the door, and he's trying to shut the door. Listen, you're either going to be mastered by sin, or you're going to be the master of it because of Christ living in you, because of the grace of God. The law can never empower you to do that. It'll just tell you what's wrong. God's grace will give you the power to overcome any sin in your life. Any sin. And whatever sin you're saying in your mind right now, I can't beat that one, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You absolutely can have victory over it. 100%.
Darren?
Yes?
It keeps referring to more carnal types of things. And yet, I think, personally, one of the biggest things that maybe I have or many of us is what comes out of our mouth, mm-hmm. and how we treat other people. Not necessarily the fact that I'm offering myself as a sex symbol.
Yes,
ma'am. Lord help me. But anyhow, it's just what comes out of my mouth and how I treat somebody.
Yes.
That hurts you more than it does anything else.
And well, you know what? Actually, it does. There is something. It hurts him.
Yes, yes, does. Yes.
But what, I guess, part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome thing come out of your mouth, except that which builds up others.
Yes.
And so what you would normally do is fly off the handle or say those things. And what God is saying is, no, I don't want that to be your master. That's your old habit. I want you to be in control. I want you to stop and think. Okay? So I don't know if that makes sense, but... And you know what it says, for sin shall not be... You know, guys, there's no such thing as little sins. You know what I mean? Or pet sins. There was a guy by the name of Richard Ed Du Bois in 1977, and he had this little baby lion. And the little baby lion, he was an entertainer, so he had a lion. And at that time, it was kind of cool to have, if you were a star, and have lions, you know, in your house. You know? And so he would let this big lion sleep with him in his bed. Play with them as a kitty. It grew, of course, this little kitten grew, but he raised it. He was familiar with it. He needed it for his act. He needed that relationship. And so he was warned not to do that, that lions are dangerous. And I remember that verse. No. And so he was warned not to do that, but he said, oh, I can handle it. Listen, I've raised this thing from, I'm good with lions. I'm an entertainer. That's why I work with them all day. Until one day in 1977, where that lion that he loved so much, that he took care of, that he needed, felt that he needed, that he raised, actually bit his head off in his bed. Literally bit his head off. There's no such thing as a pet sin. You're fooling yourself. The wages of sin is death. I know that's a yucky story. But it reminds me, like, in the back house of Tennessee or Alabama, there's a story about this guy who was driving along, and he was looking for a fishing place. He was kind of new to this little town. And there was this little kid who was, there was a little bridge as you go into the town. And he saw, like, a little kid out there fishing, you know, young boy out there fishing. And he said, hey, are the fish fighting? And the boy said, no, no, but the fun little worms are. And so the guy laughed, you know, and okay. And he went down to the gas station. And he asked the gas station guy, hey, you know a good place to go fishing? And I said, yeah, about 5 miles back, there's a bridge when you come into town. That's a great spot to go fishing. And he's like, yeah, I know. There's a little boy there. And I asked him, and he said, are the fish biting? He said, no, but the fun little worms are. And they both laughed. But after the chuckle, the gasoline attendant said, oh my God, and dropped the nozzle with the gas, jumped in his truck, zipped back there because he realized that what was happening was that little fun, cute little worms that were biting him were baby rattlesnakes. And he went back and he found the little boy dead on the river. Now, when we think we can handle sin, sin has one, and Satan has one purpose, and that's to have all of you. Whatever little sin you think you have, or that you have control over, it's a lie. It wants all of you. It is not okay. In the next verses here, when it talks about, listen, guys, we just got a couple more verses, but it says, you know, this next thing, when it's talking about sin, it's like he's asking the same question. You know, we just answered, well, what about a lifestyle sin? Is that okay? And he answered, God forbid, in verse 1. Now he asks kind of the same question. But this tense for sin is the aorist active tense, and that means dabbling in sin occasionally. And it says, what shall we say then? Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. Shall we sin because we're not under the law and under grace? Neginamai. Like, God forbid. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin that leads to death or to obedience which leads to righteousness. Anybody heard of Bob Dylan or Am I Too Old? Okay, there's a couple of them. Oh, now I remember I have all these cool slides. Oh, well, sorry guys. We're really good. Spent a lot of nice time on it too. Oh, yeah, I got to talk about him, too. Okay, here we go. Bob Dylan did a song called You Gotta Serve. This is probably the only time Bob Dylan gets quoted. But you gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. And even this guy right here, handsome fellow as he is, that's Reynold III. He's the Duke of Gelders, which is now Belgium. And he and his brother, Edward, would fight a lot, and they were fighting for control and power. And so what Reynold III and his brother Edward did was they would fought, they had battles, and one day his younger brother Edward beat him in battle, and what he did was he took Reynold III and he put him up in his tower in the castle and took over his land and ruled. And I wrote it down because I want to make sure I get it right. Reynold, which was also known as Crassus, which just means fat in Latin, was a beast. And so after he led that, Edward led the successful revolt against Reynold, he assumed command over his lands. And instead of killing Reynold, Edward devised a curious imprisonment. He had a room in the castle built around Crassus, Reynold, and which only had one door. It had windows, but the door wasn't locked, and the windows were not barred. And Edward promised Reynold that he could regain his land and his title. This is his story. You can look it up on Wikipedia. And his title at any time that he wanted to. All he would have to do was to leave the room. Now, here's where Edward was actually kind of really cool. The obstacle to freedom wasn't in the doors or the windows. There wasn't even a guard. But with Reynold himself. You see, being grossly overweight, he couldn't fit through the door that they made. Even though it was near normal size. All Reynold needed to do was to diet down to a smaller size and walk out a free man. He was free the whole time. And he could walk out with all that he had before his fall. However, his younger brother, this is where it became a little cruel, every day would have the castle chef prepare delicacies and foods that Reynold loved to eat and to send it up to him multiple times a day. And so Reynold's desire to be free never won out against his desire to eat. And some back then would accuse Edward of being really cruel for imprisoning his brother, but then he would go up and say, he's free to leave any time. In fact, he said, quote, my brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills. But Reynold stayed in the room for 10 years until he was killed in battle, until Edward was killed in battle, and they literally had to cut him out of the room. But this accurately, you know, illustrates like what a lot of Christians are. They're free, right? But they're giving in to their sin. And so you stay trapped. But really, you're free from sin. We have to remember, we have to understand, this is dead. You're dead to sin. Verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that you used to be slaves. You used to be slaves of sin. Right? Not anymore, though. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Verse 18 says, you have been set free from sin. Have been. You're free. And have become slaves to righteousness. He says, I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. He's like, I'm sorry for having to use the illustration of slavery, but back in that day, Rome was full of slaves, and many of these folks were slaves. I'm trying to make a point. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery and impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, listen, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, which leads to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? You know, some people say after they walk with the Lord, oh, it's too hard anymore. Sometimes I wish it just could go back and it would be easier. No, it wasn't. Are you kidding? That's why you got saved in the first place. It's just that you've walked with the Lord, so now you've forgotten. Don't you remember the shame, the disgust, how you felt, how you hated your very life? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, didn't the Israelites say that too? You know, when they finally got their freedom, you know, the Lord was taking them to the promised land and things got really hard. They were like, oh, it was almost better when we were slaves in Egypt, you know?
We had onions! Isn't that silly?
Yeah.
But that's what God has for you. He's led you out of slavery, just like the Israelites, but so many murmured and complained. Instead of embracing the freedom. They could have gone in the promised land, but they didn't. It's sad. Verse 22 says this, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." You know, I guess there's the two last things, and we'll kind of end with these things. Because I want to give you something practical. Just a second. There's a saying here, because of Jesus living in you, you can change the direction of your habits. And it starts in the area of your mind, what you think about. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, therefore he is. That's why the Lord says, I want you, in Romans 12, to no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind, with God's Word. I want that stuff filling you. That's why if you ever see somebody in this church start to not show up, don't be a legal police cop, right? But if you see them start to go, you'll notice, and they're not there another day, and another day. Well, you notice a few months go down the road, and you run into them, how you doing? I'm doing terrible. Because they're not getting their mind renewed. It's now submersed in the world. It's the world. It's in the world. But if you sow a thought, you're going to reap an action. You're going to sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you're going to reap a character. And if you sow a character, you're going to reap a destiny. When it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, we use this for salvation, and it's right. The wages of sin. Sin pays a wage, right? Satan is going to give you something for your sin. And it's going to be death, and it's going to be corruption. That's what you're going to get. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's what Satan does. Just bear with me 5 minutes. He does this. Do you remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? It was the first time he ever did that. He said he showed his glory for the first time, right? He did that in Cana. And it's kind of like a picture of what the world does and what God does. And he said, you remember he took the stone jars and they ran out of wine at the wedding. And his mother's like, hey, Jesus, could you, you know. And he's like, oh, okay, sure, fine. So he takes this water and turns it into the wine. Big stone vats, right, into this. And they give it to the maitre d', and they're like, this wine is amazing! This is the best wine I've ever tasted. And he said, usually what they do, you know, is they bring out the good stuff
first.
Thank you so much. They bring out the good stuff first. And then when everybody's soft, you know, when everybody's schnockered, and when everybody's like, hey, you're my bestest friend in the whole world, you know, when they're all, like, drunk, then they bring out the poison, right? Then they bring out the junk, right? He's like, but, man, you saved the best for last. And that's what Satan does. You see, that's the difference between Satan and Jesus. What he offers you is in sin is pleasure for a season. You see, you know, the Bible doesn't say, hey, don't eat carpet tacks. No, because that's not pleasurable. What it says is, hey, don't give in to the lusts of your body. Don't do these things. He says, you know, just like this water into wine, when he goes and Satan brings it out to you, he's going to bring something that's tasty. It says sin is pleasurable for a season in Hebrews. And so, but after you start to drink that wine, after you start to dabble in that sin, and you start to get a little, you lose your sensitivity, you lose your senses. You know what I mean? Then he brings out the poison. But by then it's too late because you don't even realize you're being poisoned. Right? That's what he does. It's a hook. Jesus says, okay, you're going to have hardships and suffering, but I've saved the best for last. Listen, you have eternal life waiting for you. The wages of sin is going to be death. Physical, eternal, pain, suffering. Don't be tricked by Satan into drinking the poison in the beginning because it takes, you know, or drinking the good stuff in the beginning and then being poisoned once you've lost the sensitivity. That's what, to give a picture of leprosy. Leprosy, I used to think, was just like your finger falls off, your arm falls off, your foot falls off, right? Sin in the Bible, is a leprosy is a picture of sin. And what happens in leprosy, it's not that your fingers fall off and rots off and stuff like that. What happens is your nerve endings die and you lose sensitivity. That's what sin does to you. It's like you'd be walking along and you step on a nail. But you don't even know that you stepped on a nail because you're so used to it. You don't have the sensitivity anymore. Everything's fine. And meanwhile, your foot is getting shredded by the nail as you walk. That's what sin does to you. That's why you call. I thought I was doing great. I just got a text this week. Thought I was doing great. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where, how I even got here. Sin helps you to lose sensitivity. So don't be fooled. And then this last thing, just to take you home, something practical. Okay? When temptation comes in, here's four things you can do, a little acronym that can help you remember, okay? If I could just have four readers to read these verses, that's all we'll do, and we'll leave it with this. Who wants to read the first one? 1 John 1:9. Will you read that for me, please? Okay? 1 John 1:9. Philippians 4:8. Carl, can you read that for me? Yeah. Oh, thanks. Sinful thoughts confessed. Who has 1 John 1:9? Would you raise your hand? Am I reading it? If not, I'll do it from the heart. So when temptation comes in, stop. When those thoughts first enter your head, confess them to the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, anybody remember? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So right then, if you have those thoughts coming in your head, whether they be anger or lust or laziness or selfishness, whatever it is, Lord, I'm sorry, confess them to the Lord. Lord, right now I confess it to you. Right now, Lord, will you please forgive me and will you help me to think correctly? You stop. Your sinful thoughts confessed. Second thing is, you think on these things. So first thing is you confess them to the Lord. The second thing is you change your thinking. What is that, Philippians 4:8, Carl, can I ask you?
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Yes, don't give way to your thinking, your stinking thinking. If you're having lustful thoughts, confess them to the Lord and purposely think of something good, something true, something praiseworthy. If you want to beat the snot out of somebody and you're thinking in your mind, oh, my husband, yeah, he just totally, just he doesn't care about that. Purposely think, renew it. Think about some good things. Think about some praiseworthy things. And then be obedient to Christ. Andy, would you read 2 Corinthians 10:5 for me, if you don't mind?
We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Take captive that thought. Remember, you don't have to obey the lust of your flesh anymore. You wrestle it down. If I were to take somebody captive, I would have to physically manhandle them and throw them, put them in prison. That's what you do with sin. You've not resisted to the point of shedding blood, have you, over your sin? Maybe you have. But that's what God wants you to do.
You have the power. And Josh, I'm going to ask you for the last one. I'm going to ask you for Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 3. The last one is pray and pursue Christ. Ephesians 6:18 says, just when we're talking about the armor of God, and he wants us to pray. You ask him for the power. You ask him for the strength. You ask him for the help. And then pursue Christ. What is Colossians 3, 1, 3? And we'll end with that.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yeah. The next time temptation is coming at you, this is just a little practical, think stop. Sinful thoughts, confess, think on these things. Be obedient to Christ and take captive every thought. And then pray and pursue Christ. That's what we do. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, if there's anyone here that's being held captive by sin, Lord, maybe even a prison of their own devices, Lord, that you would speak to them clearly and say that if they're born again, if they're free, they can break out anytime they want. Just like that Kool-Aid commercial where that Kool-Aid guy would just break through whatever. They are free. And you can break every chain with the power of Christ, Lord God. Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, Lord God, and hasn't given their heart and life over to you, Lord, they're still a slave to sin, Lord God. They might think they're in charge, but they're not. Satan is in charge of them, Lord. And so I pray in Jesus' name, they can't even do what's right on a permanent basis, even if they want it. I pray right now that they would just say that since the wages of sin is death, I don't want that. I want the gift of God that leads to eternal life, Lord. Will you forgive me of my sin? Will you cleanse me of all unrighteousness, Lord? I know you died on the cross. I know you rose again to give me a new life. And I want that new life. I don't want that stinky clothes anymore. I don't want to put deodorant on one arm and not the other. I want to be new and clean and work for you, Lord God. I pray your blessing on that person, Lord God. And if that's you here today, ask him to come into your heart, to come into your life, and to make you new. Just receive that free gift of the grace of God, that you can walk in the newness of life. Just tell them the best way you know how that I want that for my life. I want you for my life. I want you on the throne of my life, God. Will you do whatever it takes to help me to walk with you, Lord? And just ask them that in Jesus' name. And if you do that, God will do a wonderful work. Bless your people here this week, Father God, as they go about their day, as they go about their week, Lord God. We love you, and we bless you, and we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week.